Nick Wilson from 92.3 The Fan joins us. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, though. Going from Johnny Manziel to RG3 feels a little bit like you step off the deck of the Titanic and right onto the Edmund Fitzgerald. So other than that, I'm doing fine.
RG3, is he the lock starter? Where do you see him coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume, and, you know, there have been whispers about this anyways, that, you know, if they don't go quarterback at two, he's automatically going to be the starter over Josh McCown, and they would try and ease in a later-round pick. But if they still stick to it, which I think a lot of people want, I think you will still see him as the favorite. And even though we're dubbing it the favorite, I think that means that he'll start at least the first half of the season, regardless of injuries, just because, you know, all these quarterbacks and pretty much any other quarterback, whether it's in the draft or free agency, the word on those guys is patience. And the only way you're going to have patience is if you have somebody to toss out there and give a chance. So unless a new quarterback, a rookie quarterback, were to come in and blow everybody away and just do a great job, or unless, quite honestly, RG3, the attitude issues from Washington, if they came over and stayed a thing in Cleveland, those are the only ways I could see that RG3 wasn't the starter in week one for the Browns.
Nick, I understand this is an area of need for Cleveland, but when I look at Griffin, I don't see him coming back close to what he was. If it was just confidence, that's one thing. If it's just injuries, hopefully you can overcome that. His confidence went, he had injuries, it was like he imploded. And, you know, you can hear different sources from around the NFL say, this guy's days as a starter are done. What makes you think they might be wrong?
The only thing that really gives me pause is that, for me, it starts and ends with how somebody approaches the position. That's the greatest thing Johnny Manziel ever taught me. It's the greatest thing, that is so much more important. When they get there, how they treat it, how they treat their teammates, and that's the one thing that I need to see from RG3 to have any hope. If the, you know, today he sounded like a reformed man. If all of that's true, and the impatience and maybe the, you know, maybe a little bit of a trigger finger on complaining, if that's gone the way of the dodo and he's here to work, I also think that my on the field, the things that I think, because listen, if you're asking RG3 to be the RG3 of 2012 when he ran everywhere and didn't, you can't. And first off, no quarterback that I know of can hold up, maybe outside of Cam Newton, can take that kind of punishment. So it comes down to, can he learn to throw from the pocket? And the only reason why I say that to me comes down to the attitude is that Johnny Manziel, despite all the issues there were with that cat, the one thing that I saw from him is when he was off the sauce, when he was in a, you know, when he was focused for that first 10, 11 weeks of the year, I saw him go out against Pittsburgh. And I saw him go 12 for 12 from the pocket. There was a guy who everybody said, no way he ever learns to play from the pocket, and he did. Now, unfortunately, there was the fall from grace with everything off the field that happened. But if Johnny Manziel, who there was 75% of the football community that said he'll never be able to do it from it in the pocket, if he can do it, I trust a guy who's 10 times more talented, a better arm, a little bit more accurate than Johnny Manziel. Now, again, as you pointed out, that's a lot of ifs. But here in Cleveland, we're kind of accustomed to those ifs and becoming comfortable with them.
You know, it's interesting that in Cleveland, your whole city's had a longstanding tradition, unfortunately, of not winning at least, you know, in the last 50 years or so. Here in Edmonton, their hockey team hasn't even been in the playoffs in a decade. So trust me, they kind of relate to it somewhat. And I don't think anybody in Cleveland would put the, oh, RG3 is going to help this franchise. But he's coming into a situation where a lot of people from the outside look at the Browns and just scratch their head when it comes to, you look at their drafts or more importantly, their failures of draft picks. Like, Nick, is this a situation where he's almost doomed to fail because of the supporting cast around him?
You know, I can believe anybody wants to have that theory. I can't debate it with him. I mean, there have been so many guys who are put in better situations and who've come in here and failed. The only reason to me that anyone should believe that it will be different with RG3 is if you believe in Hugh Jackson. And I think, you know, for me personally, Hugh Jackson is different than the last five coaches that I've seen. I mean, he's the first coach since maybe Romeo Crennel that I think actually has a decent relationship with players, and that players not only do they want to play for him, but enjoy that personality and will potentially go and play above their heads. And so that's, what, five, six coaches ago. It all comes down to if you trust in Hugh Jackson. But there is no reason, and this is outside of if you're a Browns fan and you believe in Hugh Jackson, there's no reason to believe it will work because they still have watched six or seven starters walk out the door in free agency the last 3 years. And then on top of it, they're drafting under Ray Farmer, the previous regime. It was god-awful. There's just no getting around that. I mean, again, six or seven free starters walk through the door in free agency. You've got 20-some picks over 2 years, and I'm hard-pressed to find a decent starter amongst one of them. You know, so my biggest concern with it is if you're looking at it and saying, well, this changes my expectations for the Cleveland Browns in 2016, I don't see what you're saying. But if you say, well, you know what, you toss it against the window, see if it sticks, and in the meantime, if the Cleveland Browns go out there and have another 2-14, 3-13 season, well, that's okay too, because you trust the process more in place right now than maybe you did with Ray Farmer.
Nick, tell us a little bit more about this belief in Jackson. I do know this. He was credited with helping bring Joe Flacco along, and he turned into not a bad quarterback. What's it about him that works in your mind?
Well, I think one of the big things that people like is, you know, we've had offensive coaches before, you know, since 1999, but none of those guys have ever been people that have been credited with turning around careers of quarterbacks or taking a quarterback to the next level. And so that's one thing. You know, what he did with Andy Dalton took Andy Dalton last year in a step that Jay Gruden had yet to get him to. And then when you look back, the success, and, you know, Oakland's a tough one. The 1 year as a head coach in Oakland, that's a tough one because he acquired Carson Palmer, and it's kind of one of those things where Hugh Jackson, the GM, may have hurt Hugh Jackson, the head coach. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the beginning of that season, Jason Campbell was having a very good season, a mediocre quarterback in his career under Hugh Jackson. And then obviously you mentioned the stuff with Joe Flacco. And then if you add that to Hugh Jackson, and Cleveland is drawn to this, you know, because much like your guy's self, you know, with having some playoff frustrations there, when you get down and when you've had as much as bad a luck as Cleveland has had, when you have somebody come in that has a great attitude and an infectious personality, and then you hear from the players, well, we like playing with this guy, we like playing for this guy, because that personality, when everything's down, he's bluntly honest with you, but he still believes in you, even if you don't believe in yourself. I couldn't think of a more perfect personality for the city of Cleveland, who, much like a player who might be, you know, might have had struggles, you know, certainly Cleveland's had some struggles. You know, we know of the economic issues that we've had. Certainly we were hit hard by the mortgaging crisis back in 07 and 08. And then you also know about the, you know, 50 years without a championship and what that brings and the chaos that that brings. And I think add to it all the positive things that you can go ahead and illustrate, whether it's players wanting to play for him, loving it, that infectious attitude, and then also a proven track record of dealing with players on all sides of the ball and getting the most out of them. That's, you know, that's a lot more than I can say about Mike Pettine, Rob Chudzinski, or Pat Shermer, the Browns' last three head coaches in 5 years.
Nick Wilson joins us from 92.3 The Fan. Nick, moving to the Cleveland Cavaliers, there was the report, allegedly, I don't know how serious it is, talking about, you know, LeBron and Melo and Wade, which seems very strange considering the age of Dwayne Wade and what he's doing in Miami. He's just not the same player that he once was. And, you know, I'm sure Carmelo Anthony would love to get together. But do you see LeBron James, because he has that opt-out, is he in Cleveland for the long run, or do you think there's a chance he leaves?
Yeah, you know, you can never say with LeBron, because those cards, most cards he holds open so everybody can kind of see them, but those cards he always leaves so close to his vest, and he always makes sure that he's got an ace up his sleeve, that I can never say 100% certainty that he'll stay here, whether it's for the next 5 years, then maybe go try and chase one final ring somewhere else, or whether it is, you know, okay, I'm giving Cleveland five of my best years. That means here, this is year two, three more years in Cleveland, then he'll go chase a ring somewhere else, or maybe he'll just retire in a couple years. But what I will say is LeBron is one of the smarter people you'll ever meet in the world. He's smart in a business sense. He's smart in kind of the understanding of how people perceive and that idea of how your brand's perceived. I don't think there's a way that LeBron James could leave the city of Cleveland right now without it being almost as bad as the decision. Everybody talked about the decision being the worst. No, it's that he left. People always chortle about the decision, and they always scoff at it. Oh, how dare he do it? But no, it's that he left. He has to know. And maybe if he won a title, that would change things. You know, maybe if they found a way this year or next to pull the sword from the stone and get that title, and then he said, you know what, guys, I've got my title here. I feel like I've given you what I needed to. Now I want to move on. Maybe it would be different, but he's a guy that knows how he was perceived after he left here, and he hated it. He hates to be the bad guy, which is why I would be, again, can never say with 100% certainty, but I would be shocked if he left, because he just, that's not what he likes to be. He wants to be Scottie Pippen, the guy that everybody loves. He doesn't want to be Jordan, the guy who wasn't afraid to be hated.
Well, the thing is, Nick, he has a chance to win there. I don't know if anybody beats Golden State this year, but he at least has that chance, because what a blow to the psyche of the whole city it would be if he said after this season, you know what, I got to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think as bad as the first one was, I think this would, you know, along with, if we're just talking about the psyche of Cleveland sports, I think it would be right up there with the first time, because, you know, the Indians, there's not a lot of faith in the Dolan ownership, who feel like they've got a line in the sand of what they'll commit to winning a championship. They don't talk about winning championships. You know, they talk about being a competitive club. That's the jargon you hear from the Indians organization. And then you've got the Browns, and they're just in this perpetual state of I can't say it any better, god-awfulness. And it's just, it's embarrassing for there. So you've got the Cavaliers, and if they don't win a championship with LeBron James, I think it's very right if you're a Clevelander to say, well, if the prodigal son, you know, the best basketball player Cleveland will likely ever have, I would be shocked if anybody ever comes close to the ilk of LeBron James in Cleveland, whether that's in any sport. If he can't do it here with his prized guys, with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, and these are the guys that he wanted, with this team, with an owner who will put every penny he has. I mean, look at how much the tax dollars that Dan Gilbert's spending. If that perfect situation can't birth a title, then what can't? So, yeah, it would be a monumental shock if he left again. Maybe if there was at the end of the career and there was a title or two here, it's different, but no title and LeBron just left you after 2 years or 3 years, it would be bad all over.
Well, okay, that answer, and I kind of thought that. So, the part when it said he's going to leave with Dwayne Wade, I was like, sorry, people, Dwayne Wade is not the player he was when they got together the first time to win the two championships. So we'll see. Cleveland, maybe they can win this year. They definitely, I would think, have a little bit of an easier route to the final than either the Spurs or the Warriors, because they're going to have to beat each other up to try to get out of the West. So that might be the advantage for the Cavs if they make it that far. Appreciate your time. Should be fun watching the RG3 era start in Cleveland.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. And just remember, if you can't be good, be interesting, and that's what the Cleveland Browns are.
Thanks for your